with those tags at the end of Children's Church. And while they are exiting, I want to take the opportunity to thank everybody for the compliments on my attire this morning. The way I see it, I might come up here and preach the worst possible sermon you've ever heard, but at least I'm going to look good doing it. So we've got that going for us. So I don't know, have y'all been enjoying the sermon series on 1 Peter so far?
Yes.
Yeah, that might change this morning as well. So Blake and his family are away on, I don't know where the tournament is, but they're at Sam's last college volleyball tournament this weekend in Alabama. And I texted Blake and said, "Hey, how did it go?" And he said, "Well, the team was eliminated pretty early, but let me see what he said about Sam here. If it keeps doing it, we'll just go here." Sam's team was eliminated, but Sam personally passed the 1,000 kill mark, broke the all-time blocking record, won Player of the Year for the Southern States Conference, and she scored the game-winning kill on the last game of her career. So I don't know if he's proud about that or not, but proud daddy and mommy and siblings are hanging out with Sam, and Mac showed me a picture this morning. They're out hanging out at the beach while we're in here today, so we'll have to talk about that tomorrow in staff meeting. So he says that's where they are. I'm pretty sure, actually, he really asked me to fill in because he did not want to cover this passage this morning. So he seems to have a knack for passing on the less popular passages to me. I get to have all the fun ones. So, and then on top of that, I got the feeling this morning that maybe Satan was trying to distract me. Maybe he didn't want you to hear the words coming out of 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. Tracy and the kids and I walked out of the house. We were running on time. Everything was going great. The kids all got dressed without fussing and fighting. And you know, we went and got in the van, and everybody's buckled up, ready to go, and turned the key, and nothing happens. So, all right, battery is dead. And that's our second vehicle. The first one already wouldn't start. So, okay, we don't have a car. But fortunately, we're not running late, and we only live about an 8-minute walk from the church. So we just got out of the car and walked on over to the church. It was beautiful weather. We enjoyed it. And you haven't seen, you know, if you want to see something funny, watch a 3-year-old crossing Business 290 on a Sunday morning. You know, it's just something about that. We got to the church, and I go to set up the children's computer for children to sign in. And Miss Kathy Bloyd is over there getting that set up and doing a fantastic job. And the printer ran out of labels. And so I said, "Well, have you replaced the labels before?" And she said, "No." Well, let me show you how to do it. And then I proceeded to show her exactly how not to do it. So we got the printer on the spool, and we tried to feed it through, and it started spitting out blank labels, about 10 or 15 of them, and it wouldn't stop. And so we tried to stop it. Somehow it pulled the labels back in. One of the labels unpeeled itself from the backing and then wrapped around everything and stuck to the whole deal. This is how the morning went, okay? It wasn't even 9 o'clock yet. We took about 10 minutes, got it all undone. We go to reload it. It starts the process all over again. I said, "Kathy, do handwritten labels. I'm going to go over to the youth building, and we're done today." So I think maybe the Lord has some words for us this morning, and hopefully we're going to get there. By the way, I want to just say I don't get the opportunity very often to stand in front of you and brag on people, but Kathy Bloyd has taken over as our children's Sunday school director, and she has done a phenomenal, phenomenal job. So, yeah, so when you see her, be sure to tell her thank you for helping with that. And we've also got Shannon that leads our Wednesday night jam, and Tracy doing our children's church. And those three women, just they really do a great job in those areas, and it takes a lot of pressure off the pastoral staff. And so we appreciate what they do. So, yeah. All right. All that being said, let's get into 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to be in verses 13 through 17 this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. And here's what it says. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Instead, live as God's slaves. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. I love what it says right there in the first two verses, verses 13 and 14. That first line says, submit yourselves to all of the authorities that you agree with. Okay, I'm just seeing if y'all are awake. All right, no. Actually, it says, submit yourselves to most human authority. No? Wrong again? No, it says, submit yourself to every human authority. Those who are sent, and by the way, who sent those human authorities? It's God who sent them, God who has had them in place over you. Those who are sent by God to punish those who do right or do wrong, and to commend those who do right. So before we get up in arms this morning, because I know anytime we start using the word submit, people have a hard time with that word for some reason, I want us to remember a few things. Okay, first of all, when you submit to somebody, you are not necessarily saying that you agree with what they are telling you to do. At the same time, you are also not saying that you are necessarily inferior to that person when you submit to them. Instead, you are simply recognizing that that person is in a position of authority over you. And as Christians, we also recognize again that they were put in that position of authority by God himself. So that could be the president. It could be governors. It could be your boss at work. It could even be the 16-year-old clerk at the grocery store who says you've got too many items to be standing in the express lane. I'm not saying I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm not saying I'm not, okay? But what happens, we think when we submit, somehow we get confused and we think it's like we're showing some kind of weakness by submitting to somebody. And in fact, the exact opposite of that is true. And we'll see that in the next couple of verses. But before we do that, I also recognize that you may be thinking that the authorities that are currently in place in our country are evil, and maybe they're not even worthy of being submitted to. That's a pretty common thought from a lot of people. But when you think about the situation that we're in today, let me also remind you about what was happening in 1 Peter's time when Peter was writing this letter to begin with. All right, when he wrote this letter to the Christian exiles that were scattered all over Rome. So have you ever heard of a man named Nero? Yeah. Nero had just come into power as the new Roman emperor, and his government was really not a whole lot different than our government or any other government throughout history in this sense. Okay, throughout history, the poor and the oppressed have never had a fair chance. It's never been fair. The rich and powerful have always been able to buy the lawyers. They've always been able to influence the legislators and the people that are in charge of us. And so this was going on during Nero's time, and Peter wrote while that was happening. And on top of that, the Christians in the time, the reason they were scattered is they were being used as scapegoats for all of Nero's problems. Okay, something would go wrong in Rome, and Nero would say, well, it's because of those Christians. And in order to make an example and to punish the Christians for what they had done wrong, he used them as human torches to light up the emperor's gardens in Rome. So he literally impaled them and covered them in tar and lit them on fire while they were alive and burned them to create light to say, you Christians have done wrong and you're going to pay for it. And yet, in the middle of that environment, Peter says, submit. And you can say, well, I don't like that. You can say, I don't agree. You can say, that's not fair. But you have to submit. And by the way, while we're talking about that, is that not fair? Let me ask you this. Was it fair when Jesus was flogged and crucified after never committing a single sin in his entire life? All right? Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus is the one that we are supposed to model our lives after. He literally did no wrong. As we sang in the song earlier, he became sin who knew no sin. He had not committed a single sin in his life, and yet he was hung on a cross. He didn't even deserve a slap on the wrist. Jesus didn't even deserve a warning. He never did wrong. And yet he died as a common criminal and one of the most horrifying and painful tortures and executions that you go through, being crucified on the cross. So I'll ask this morning, are we better than Jesus? And if we're not, I think we probably ought to submit, okay? So, all right, we get that, submit. We understand submit, but why should we submit? I'm glad you asked. We'll look at verses 15 and 16 now, and it says this. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedoms as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So notice what it says there. It says, it is God's will that by doing good, you will silence the haters. Okay, that last part was paraphrased, but you know, we don't give people an opportunity to bring accusations against us. If they're going to bring accusations, they're going to have to be trumped up accusations, which they may do, but at least we didn't give them a reason to do so. All right, so you understand that Peter's letter was written, he had three main parts to his letter. So the first part, which Pastor Blake has been going through so far, he is just writing and he's saying, hey guys, you need to live holy lives. You need to be holy, you need to live holy. You're God's chosen people and God's chosen people are called to a standard of holiness. That's you, you need to do that. In the second part of his letter, he says, it is by living holy that you have the opportunity to influence and impress those who are around you. Just doing good and just living a holy life has an impact, has the potential to change people's lives that are around us. And in the third part, he does say, look, you're going to suffer. There's going to be persecution. But again, as followers of Christ, we ought to expect that. Jesus himself said, hey, look, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And so the passage that we're in this morning is the beginning of that section where he says, by doing good, you will have an impact on others. By living holy lives, by doing what is good, it takes away the opportunity for them to judge us fairly and only leaves them the chance to judge us unfairly, which they may still do. But again, we didn't cause that. We didn't give that to them. And also, it gives us the opportunity to reflect the God that lives inside of us to them, right? So it's you go back to verse 13, it says, you submit to them for the Lord's sake. So we're doing this, we're putting Jesus Christ's name on the line the way that we conduct ourselves when it comes to listening to or not listening to authority. It says, do this for the Lord's sake. You may have heard, there's a quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, do what? Use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That's what's going on in this passage. We've been talking with the students on Wednesday nights about the importance of the gospel, just like how significant the gospel is. And by the way, you should be proud of the students here at Waller Baptist Church. I believe, by and large, they have a pretty firm grasp of what the gospel is. They have a firm grasp of how to articulate what the gospel is. And so now we've been challenging them every single week to go and to preach the gospel, to go and share the gospel. And we've talked to them about what passages in scripture to refer to and what words to say. And whether you've been a Christian for 1 hour or for 50 years, you ought to be able to share the Jesus that is inside of you with somebody else that doesn't know him and doesn't have him. And that's what all of this book is about. It's about us coming to know God and then sharing God with those that are around us. And so they're going out, and I asked them last week, how many of you shared the gospel this week? And a few of them raised their hands. And I told them, okay, go do it again this week. And so I'm going to ask them this Wednesday, how many of you shared the gospel? And so we're preaching the gospel, we're speaking the gospel, we're sharing the gospel with their words. But the reality is, if we are using our words to speak the gospel, and then our actions are not backing up our words, then nobody's going to care about what we have to say, right? It says that there's another quote that I heard back in the 90s. It's from a DC Talk CD. I don't know if anybody besides me even knows who DC Talk is, but they were a rap and rock band that I got into when I became a Christian. And on their Jesus Freak CD, there was a quote at the end of one of the songs, and it said this. It said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. Christians who acknowledge Jesus with our words, we walk out of the church doors and deny them with their lifestyles. He says, that is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. So when we submit to authority, we are reflecting Christ in the right way. When we don't submit to authority, then we're making him look bad. And we're turning people away from the gospel. And we're turning people away from him. And I don't think we want to do that here this morning. All right? So, do we realize we as Christians, placed by God to submit to authority, that God has placed over us, we are obeying God's word, and we're turning them to God, and if we don't obey God's word, we're turning them away from God. All right? So, you say, all right, I'm still good with all of that. It's tough, but I'm good with it. But listen, we live in a free country. Amen? And we need to protect the freedom that we have in this country. Here's where it might get a little bit tricky. I might step on some toes. If it's, you know, if your toes get stepped on, I'm going to blame the Holy Spirit on that. So I'm going to try not to take that on me. So yes, in this country, we do enjoy a lot of freedoms that other countries throughout history have never enjoyed. And yes, I enjoy the freedom that I have, and I want my kids, and I want my grandkids to enjoy the freedom that I have. But the reality is, based on this passage and based on numerous other passages throughout Scripture, none of us is actually really free, at least not in the sense that we usually imagine freedom. So you and I are not free to just do whatever we want, whenever we want. All of us are slaves to somebody or something. And I know we don't like that word, but if you look again at the end of verse 16, it says, you are to live as slaves of God. You can live as a slave to God, or you can live as a slave to something other than God. But you cannot live free in the sense that you and I get to do whatever we want. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You'll follow one and you'll neglect the other. Okay, so you can serve God or you can serve money. You can serve power. You can serve lust. Some people just blatantly don't even try to hide it. Hey, I'm going to go and serve Satan. But all of us are servants or slaves to somebody. None of us is calling our own shots. And when we do try to call our own shots and we place our imagination of what freedom is in a higher regard than what God's definition of freedom is, and we say, hey, I'm in charge. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to enjoy my freedom. All we're doing is establishing ourselves as our own God. And at that point, we become no better than Lucifer was just before he fell from heaven, because that was the sin that he committed. And so, yes, we have this freedom, but it's really just the freedom to become slaves for God. And it's a great freedom. Don't get me wrong. Being a slave to God is the most incredible lifestyle that we can have. You'll have more blessings. You'll have more joy. You may have a ton of suffering. You may have a ton of persecution, but you'll have Christ inside of you getting you through that. And again, we become more and more like him the more that we do those things. So it's worth it. But let's not kid ourselves and say, well, we're free to do what we want. No, we're free to become slaves of God. And part of being a slave to God is submitting to the authorities that God has placed over us. All right? So it really doesn't matter what government system that we live under. There's Christian women living in Africa that are under tribal systems that, you know, they don't have any freedom. There's Christian women and men, but particularly the women in the Middle East that are living under, they're Christians, but they're living under Muslim law, and they have to cover their whole body. And if they speak, you know, I saw a prayer the other day that a man was praying over a woman, and he was hitting her on the head and saying, God, I pray that she would just be silent and that she wouldn't ever speak out against me. And he was, you know, quote, praying that, right? There are Christians that have things a lot worse than we do, and yet they don't say, well, I don't want to, you know, it's not fair that I have to submit to these authorities. It doesn't matter who it is over us. It doesn't matter what system we are a part of. Ultimately, we are servants of God, and so we are called to submit to him. Now, I will say this, and I know we know this already, but the one time that we do not submit to the authorities, and this is clear in Scripture as well, the one time you don't submit to an authority is if what they are saying is in direct contradiction to somebody higher than them, right? So if you get one command from this guy, but his boss above him tells you something else, you're going to go with the lower boss or the higher boss? I'm going higher every time, okay? And so the same thing is true. If there are laws, if there are commands that are given to us here on earth that directly contradict what God's law says, you think about abortion, you think about, you know, in times of war, when commanding officers might give some not so good orders on murdering certain people or things like that. I'm not talking about killing in war. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. You know, covert, this is not good, that's not keeping on the up and up. If it's going directly against the word of God, then at that point you submit to God over that. But any other time, you can't just say, well, I don't like what they're telling me to do, so I'm not going to submit. All right? Remember that God placed them there, and you don't want to be in opposition to God's word. All right, so finally, we're going to get to the last verse. And as if it's not difficult enough already, let's see what Peter does in verse 17 as he ups the ante. 17 says, honor your brothers and sisters. No, it says, honor everyone. Love your brothers and sisters. Fear God and honor the emperor. It says, honor everyone. So now we're not even just talking about those who are in authority over us. If you remember what Paul wrote in Philippians, he says, each of you ought to consider everyone else better than yourself. So really what Paul's teaching there is that in a sense, we ought to think of everybody as superior to us, as an authority over us. And you combine that with what Peter says here. He says, honor everyone. It really means that we just got to submit. At all times and all places, we place ourselves under those who are around us. And listen, this is a big, big deal to God, right? Do we think that Peter really means when he's writing here? Well, look again at the example that Jesus Christ set for us. Do we ever stop and think about the fact that Jesus Christ is God, that he always has been, that he is, he always will be. He is living in paradise. He had no sin. He had everything he could ever want. He's sitting at the Father's right hand in heaven, and yet he submitted himself. And he came down, he bound himself in flesh as a little helpless baby. And so when Peter writes that we should honor everyone and submit to those who are over us, do I think he really means it? Well, I think Jesus meant it with his actions. And so he calls us to do the same thing. We have to submit. And so I know this is hard. This is a hard one for me, right? I don't know if y'all are aware, I spent this past weekend working at the Nutcracker Market, Houston Ballet deal down at NRG Center. And the last 3 days, I've been doing the package check-in. And so, you know, people come and they shop and they spend lots of money and they bring their bags to the counter. And there's about 30 of us that, you know, are working there, and we take their bags to this back table. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's probably 10,000 bags back there, like not even exaggerating. There's tons and tons of stuff. And then they drive their cars around back and we'll load the bags up in their cars. And in the last 3 days, I've walked a little over 43 miles working at the Houston Nutcracker Market. So it's a lot of work. And I enjoy the exercise. But it's also kind of an ideal job for me because I get to talk to people all day long. So like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., I'm just talking with people all day long. And I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I like the sound of my own voice. So, you know, I get to let it out. And Tracy doesn't have to be the one catching all of it. So it works really well. But anyways, I say all to say that the guy that runs the package check-in, it's a husband and wife that run it. And then their son and his wife are kind of, you know, like next tier, second in command. And I interact mostly with the son, and he does a pretty good job of running that deal. But there's a lot of moving parts, especially Thursday. It's just insane how many things are going on, and so it's hard to stay on top of everybody going out there. And a lot of the pay that we earn is through tips when we take the bags out to cars. And so of course everybody wants to be out back, you know, helping the cars, but there's still people up front checking in their bags, and nobody wants to be up front when the cars start coming. And so my boss there, he's trying to manage, like, who gets to go out back and who gets to stay up front. And it's difficult. Not everybody always gets an equal opportunity to be out there. And so when your primary pay from the gig is getting tips, and you're watching this guy serve 5 or 6 cars in a row, and the boss keeps telling you, hey, you go help out front, we need help out front. He might have told that guy to help out front, and that guy didn't listen. But if he tells me to help up front, I have no choice. I've got to submit. And I don't like it. I want those tips just as much as that guy does. I want to buy Christmas presents for my kids. But whatever the boss says to do, I've got to do it. That's just all there is to it. And then if you think about it, I mean, my boss here at Waller Baptist, Blake, have you ever, well, Eric's giving me a knowing look, but I'm not going to talk about it this morning. You can ask Blake about everything here. So seriously, we have to submit. We have to reflect God. The scripture is clear on this. That sometimes you can read scripture and you can say, well, it could be this interpretation, it could be that, but there's no gray area in this. Okay, God placed the authorities over us. We submit to the authorities, and in so doing, we reflect the God that lives inside of us. So I'm going to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to enter into a time of reflection and a time of invitation. And if this is an area that you struggle with, maybe you need to come down to the altar and spend some personal time praying. Grab a friend and ask them to come and pray with you. Come and pray for the authorities. You know, it doesn't say submit and don't pray. You know, we can pray. We're not going to change them, but the Holy Spirit can change them. You know, God can get a hold of anybody, and so you can come to the front. You can pray for them. If you want to come and pray with me about anything, you can do so. If you've been coming to our church and you've not ever joined as a member and you're interested in doing that, you can do that during the time of invitation as well. But I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into that, and then I'll get off your toes this morning. Lord God, thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are holy. We thank you that you are just. And we thank you that you love us, God. We thank you for your word. God, without your word, we wouldn't even know how to approach you. We wouldn't know how to worship you. And yet, God, you love us so much that you chose to reveal yourself through your word, God, through your son, through your Holy Spirit who lives inside of those of us who know and love you. God, thank you for all of those mercies and that grace that you've poured out on us. God, give us the grace this week to submit the authorities that are in our lives. As my brother prayed earlier this morning, and he prayed a dangerous prayer. Let us take this word to heart and find ways to apply it this week. So God, we pray that as you provide opportunities for us to apply this scripture this week, that we would be reminded of your word, and we would do so with joy and gladness, recognizing the impact that it may have for you and for your kingdom. So God, we ask it in Christ Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.